From UFOs to psychic powers and government conspiracies, history is riddled with unexplained events. You can turn back now or learn the stuff they don't want you to know. A production of iHeartRadio.
Hello, welcome back to the show. My name is Matt.
My name is Noel.
They call me Ben. We are joined, as always, with our super producer, Andrew Triforce Howard. Most importantly, you are you. You are here. That makes this the stuff they don't want you to know. If you are hearing our listener mail the evening it comes out, please allow us to be the first to welcome you to December 19th, 2024. Now, full disclosure, we're recording this on December 11th. However, we have so many stories to get to. One of the best parts of our weekly listener mail endeavor is that we get to hear from the most important part of the show, which is you, specifically you. We're talking about Wes, Outlier. We're talking about some folks from Oz. We're talking about a hopefully awesome therapist. Before we do any of this, guys, this is one of our last listener mail programs before the end of what humans call 2024. So hoping we could just get a quick vibe check. How are you guys feeling about 2024 overall? How'd we do?
Yeah, it's fine.
I think we did great. I think we did good. I'm proud of the work we've done in 2024. You know, it's been ups and downs, you know, in terms of the state of affairs of the world, though, I would argue.
Mm-hmm. You know, guys, I mentioned to you that I have a friend who has been experiencing some UAP stuff.
Yes.
Where he lives. Yep. Got a call from him very mm-hmm. recently. And, you know, take this with however many grains of salt you wish to.
I'll say three, one for each of us.
Okay. I don't necessarily believe this. He doesn't necessarily believe this, but he feels as though he has been contacted in some way by some intelligence. And the message that was relayed was one of essentially F around and find out with humanity because allegedly a few craft have been shot down by government entities. And it's this whole thing. And it's making me a little nervous about 2025, but I'm also super excited that we might actually get our Independence Day moment, you know?
Yes. Not just July 4th for the U.S., but a sort of July 4th for the world, Matt. It's so funny that you say this, and funny not in a ha-ha, but in a way, because I have been receiving similar communications, not from the great abroad, but more from people identifying as humans. You never really know online anymore, right? And whatever 2025 may indeed bring, we are collectively so grateful that you have joined our strange continuing mission to find all the stuff they don't want you to know. As a matter of fact, we're the type of guys who like to walk the walk over talking the talk. And that's why we're pausing for a word from our sponsors. And then we're going to hear directly from you.
Introducing Instagram Teen Accounts, automatic protections for teens with built-in limits for who can contact them and the content they can see, helping teens safely connect to the people and things that matter most. Plus, teens under 16 require parental approval to change safety settings. New Instagram Teen Accounts, automatic protections for who can contact them and the content they can see. Learn more at instagram.com/teenaccounts.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
Hi, everyone. It's Savannah Guthrie and Hoda Kotb from the Today Show.
Nobody does the holidays like today. From festive performances and great gift ideas to tips for the perfect holiday feast.
Join us every morning on NBC and make today your home for the holidays.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away, as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast.
And Matt, I think one of the most worthwhile things you can save for these days is travel. Not you, me, both of us, all of us. I've been doing a lot of domestic travel lately. It can be even less expensive than traveling internationally and just as fulfilling. And it's just been incredible for my family.
I agree. And not only do I love to stay in Airbnbs while I am traveling, but I also loved being an Airbnb host. It's a great way to earn some extra money to use towards my next trip. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we are back, and let us begin with a message from an amazing person named Ozwoman, or going by Ozwoman. We heard from Ozwoman a while back when we talked about some of the strange frequencies emitting from, I think it was a guy who had a PS4 or something emitting a strange thing, and she gave us some advice on that. And now she's calling in with some very personal stories about her life, some tales from what she's been through, what she's seen and done. And I just was so happy. This is two voice messages kind of smashed together into a mix, mix them up.
Oh, and Ozwoman, it's great to hear from you again. This is, I really appreciated the PlayStation comments too.
Oh yeah, for sure. Always something interesting to say, and a very interesting person. So this is a mashup. There's several concepts, ideas in here and stories. Let's just listen to the whole thing and then talk about what we want to talk about.
Right on.
This is Ozwoman in Idaho. I joined Project Blackjack 5. And yes, you can use this. Blackjack 5 in 1989 to 1996, we were doing an interstellar laser or a laser-guided missile system that would bounce off of satellites, very much the same way Iron Dome works. And we were doing this for the United States of America as well as for outer space. It was a program that you guys know as Star Wars. That's right. I was in Star Wars from 1989 to 1996. And give you some weird context, in 2016, I got a Christmas card from Trump thanking me for my service. Anyway, I worked for Maxwell Labs and for SAIC and for, you guessed it, Lockheed Skunk Works. So I'm just letting you guys know that as far as I know, there's nothing up there. Okay, but what do I know? I'm just a little peon in a big cog that still has her secret or better clearance that could be called back. Just within the last couple of years, I went to my closest air base and said, hey, I'd like to get access to the base. I'm this person, da-da-da. And they said, oh, yes, we still have you in our system. You still have a secret or better clearance, and you can be on recall at any time to come back and to go to Los Alamos. And I was like, okay, thanks a lot. Really appreciate it. So far, have not been recalled. So far, nothing that I know of are sketchy on the moon other than China. But Yeah, and the fact that we did try and Blackjack 5 was on Fox News, I don't know, decades ago with a couple of missiles that were coming in toward a U.S. Navy carrier, and they had our system on board and were able to defuse those missiles before they hit. Just wanted to give you a little heads up that that's my story. And I will tell you one more. When I was working at Balboa Labs in San Diego, I used to have to stay until 3 or 4 in the morning Pacific time to get out my report to the White House. Ronald Reagan liked reading my reports because I wrote them in plain English, not all this scientific bullcrap, as you put it. I'll leave it that way. And so 1 week I came in after a general came down, met me, you know, met all of us. I'm just a lowly administrative assistant. And the next week I got a pound of cappuccino jelly bellies and a pizza with everything on it from Pizza Hut and a 2-liter bottle of Pepsi for me at the security gate, because Reagan knew that I was the only one working and he wanted to give me a little oomph to get my report in a little early so he didn't have to read it over breakfast. And there was just no way I could do that. But anyway, those are my stories. I hope you guys are having a good holiday. Have a good Thanksgiving. Yeah, love your show. Been watching on YouTube. I'm a longtime conspiracy realist. And yeah, just love your show. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Yeah. Whoa, so many stories in there, guys. First of all, look, I don't know if anybody else is stuck on this, but I am. Cappuccino jelly bellies.
So yeah, there's a bit of a, I'm sure you know this, Matt, we talked about it in previous, I almost said previous administrations, in previous episodes and strange news and listener mail. Everybody likes to have a little signature soft move in politics, and the jelly bellies, the specific kinds of jelly bellies, are a thing that Reagan was known for.
Well, I just mean cappuccino jelly bellies. Bring me some. Where can I find it? I will buy them.
They're around. Have you ever had the buttered popcorn jelly bellies? That's always been a favorite of mine. It literally tastes like the movie theater popcorn sludge in a jelly bean form.
Also for Reagan, the interest, or at least the way the public narrative went in the 1980s, was that Reagan got into jelly beans as a way to get himself off the tobacco dragon. So he stopped chasing that pipe dragon and started eating those jelly beans. I think a lot of it goes back to the Herman Gollitz Candy Company.
Nice. I didn't know any of this. I just didn't know there were cappuccino jelly bellies, and now I need some. But also Pizza Hut. Come on, send somebody a Pizza Hut back in the... What, in the 80s, 90s?
Power move. Yeah.
That was an amazing pizza back then. Yeah.
That was back when they had the classy sit-down restaurants.
Oh, with the red cups and the stained glass, like pool table type chandelier overhead.
That mafioso lighting.
Exactly. Pizza. Personal pan pizzas, PPPs.
Book it. Also, shout out to Book it.
Yeah,
100%. Pizza party. So PPPs at your pizza party.
But guys, the most important, there are really important things that are in here. First of all, just the personal connection to Ronald Reagan is cool. Yes. No matter how you feel about any president, having this close connection to a president, neato, especially as an admin assistant and you're like writing reports. And then the president's like, hey, I got a vested interest in what you're doing right now.
And be seen. Yeah, for your work to be appreciated. That's massive.
Super cool. I didn't know much about Balboa Labs, guys. I looked up a lot of these things. In their Oz Woman mentions SAIC, which is Science Applications International Corporation. A big deal right along the likes of, you know, Lockheed, Maxwell Labs, all these places that are doing different defense research, other stuff that's not so defensive, a little more offensive.
Hey,
it's all defense. Careful. All defense. Star Wars was defense.
Sure. It was.
That is something we have to remember. Project Blackjack. the fact that there was, I guess, a Fox News segment at some point talking about a specific time when missiles were headed towards a Navy carrier, but this system was used to defuse them. Mm-hmm. Very cool. You may not really understand or have a working context of what that means, as I did not before coming into this. But let's just briefly go over Star Wars, not the franchise that was rebooted and will be rebooted again. We're talking about a very specific program that, well, Ronald Reagan introduced it by giving a speech at one point that you can go and check out. It's really interesting. It's called, quote, Address to the Nation on Defense and National Security. Mm-hmm. It was back in March of 1983 when that happened. So just before I was born, at least. And it was known as Star Wars. People called it Star Wars.
Sometimes derisively.
Yes, exactly. Well, I would say often, like at least at the beginning, they're like, oh, this Star Wars thing. Mm-hmm. But it was known as the SDI, or Strategic Defense Initiative. It is linked to things like Missile Defense Shield that the Project for a New American Century talked about and kept wanting, you know, the United States to invest billions and billions of dollars in. But it actually, you may, in my head, at least back a while ago, I thought of it as a system of missiles somehow set up, you know, around the country to defend us. But really what this was countermeasures to strategic missiles like ICBMs that could be launched by an enemy. And then this system would make those missiles inert, again, defuse them, as was noted by our amazing caller there, Ozwoman, or to blow them up, you know, while they're in the atmosphere flying around towards a target. Mm-hmm. And the concepts that were put forward for technology and advances to technology that could potentially make a missile inert were fascinating, amazing stuff. That conceptually, at least, you're talking about lasers that can fire from the ground, extremely high-powered, different types of lasers, shoot from the ground, hit a satellite that's strategically placed somewhere up there, essentially a mirror, that then direct that beam onto a missile that's flying super fast through the air, or, you know, and vice versa. You could have a satellite that has the laser, hits a mirror on the ground, then it gets targeted, basically.
And Ozwoman, to your earlier point, I just want to take a moment and say your comparison to the Iron Dome program is 10-10. And thank you so much for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. So the Iron Dome program, you've likely seen a video or two or heard about it, mostly used right now in Israel. That's where you've seen it deployed, where it's a system of essentially extremely rapid fire machine guns that are large caliber that can fire from the ground. You can hear them. It almost sounds like those Warthog airplanes, the fighter planes, you know,
well,
like
done,
a,
Matt.
Like a
yeah,
spun up gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's what you hear.
Yeah.
And again, fascinating and extremely effective when you've got a bunch of those laid out. Well, I mean, it seems to be effective. At least maybe that's propaganda that I've fallen prey to. But from what I've seen, missile barrages will at least head towards Israel and then they will get obliterated in the sky for the most part.
Also, at that point, without getting too into the weeds, this is not an episode on Iron Dome, but we have to keep in mind that often Iron Dome is mitigating things like QASSAM rockets, QASSAM, which are not the highly guided ICBMs we're talking about with the SDI, Strategic Defense Initiative.
100%. If you've ever played Call of Duty or something, you may imagine like an RPG rocket, like a rocket propelled grenade or something that's twice that size, right? It's kind of what we're describing here. Lower tech missiles, grenades that are, you know, highly explosive and extremely dangerous, but are fired, you know, usually from the ground, traveling across the air, not that far. And, you know, they don't travel that fast. But if you're talking about an ICBM or some of these missiles that have like a nuclear payload, which is what Star Wars and the SDI was about.
Right.
Those are things that are rockets. I mean, they're full on rockets that have nukes inside them.
They're like Jeff Bezos. They go to space a little bit.
Yeah, just enough to go.
Do you like how I walked down the street just to crap on Jeff a little bit?
You don't have to walk down the street for that.
Just to skim for a moment and then come right
back. Yeah, yeah, but it's super dangerous. And it is, to your point, Matt, it is a vital thing. To your point, Ozwoman, the SDI, was called Star Wars, right? And it was often called Star Wars by its detractors, but it is, if nothing else, an incredibly ambitious and well-intentioned idea.
Yes. I mean, it's a very good idea. The point that President Reagan makes in that speech is actually kind of beautiful. I'll give you a little bit of a quote. I'll do this fast, guys, and then we'll move on to the next thing.
Can you do it in a voice?
I don't know that I can.
I don't even know if I know what Reagan sounded like. It's hard to be
sure. He sounds like an actor to me. He sounds like somebody who's very adamant and connecting with his audience through the camera.
Yes.
You can see the actor in him. You feel it, and it feels true. Good. So I wasn't even born yet, but I can imagine if this was the president talking to me, I would feel assured and comforted, and I don't know.
Well, you are the American people, Matt. I mean, he's talking to you and all your cohorts.
Well, he's the Gipper.
Win one for him. Why don't you?
He says things like this, and he said this in his speech. Let me share with you a vision of the future, which offers hope. It is that we embark on a program to counter the awesome Soviet missile threat with measures that are defensive. What if free people could live secure in the knowledge that their security did not rest upon the threat of instant U.S. retaliation to deter a Soviet attack? That we could intercept and destroy strategic ballistic missiles before they reached our own soil or that of our allies? I clearly recognize that defensive systems have limitations and raise certain problems and ambiguities. If paired with offensive systems, they can be viewed as fostering an aggressive policy, and no one wants that. But with these considerations firmly in mind, I call upon the scientific community in our country, those who gave us nuclear weapons, to turn their great talents now to the cause of mankind and world peace, to give us the means of rendering these nuclear weapons impotent and obsolete.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the speechwriter, by the way,
yes,
who was not the Gipper. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's not a ding on Reagan. Most presidents in the United States post about the 1970s or so have not written their speeches.
Yes.
They've had some ideas, and then they've got a crew of pros who go in. But we have to interrogate the language here a little bit, because it's so Cold War. Render the missiles impotent. You know, the impotent is definitely a linguistic weaponized choice.
Who's that aimed at?
Hey, Russia, sorry, your penis doesn't work.
Yeah,
is kind of what they're going for. This highly ambitious thing, which again was incredibly, inevitably profitable for defense corporations, right? The quasi private public partnership that has powered the U.S. military since early in the world wars. What we see here, though, is something kind of apolitical. Regardless of whether you were a big fan of Reagan or a big opponent of Reagan and what that coalition represented domestically and abroad, we can say there is quite a lot of validity to the argument that we, like, the implication there in the excerpt from that speech, and I remember the speech, Matt, is the implication is, we don't need to send the world's most dangerous military boots on the ground. We know other countries, even allies, may have serious problems with U.S. incursion. So what if we nip the problem in the bud, in space, in low Earth orbit, and we are able to not have our military invade you to, quote unquote, protect you. We are able to protect you without any of those other problematic steps. And that is a noble idea.
It is, but it is pretty close to wanting to have godlike powers, right?
The same thing. I wouldn't even say close.
It's as close as humanity can could get, especially at that point. And it was something in the future that we could maybe achieve. And now there's stuff up there that we don't know about that's happening. Did you guys remember hearing a thing back in the late 1960s when a lot when a lot of the UAP reports were coming out, there were stories about UAP disabling warheads specifically over bases.
Of course,
there were a bunch of them.
Talked about that recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are a bunch of them. These are stories.
The idea
right?
that they were benevolent and trying to disarm us to keep us from blowing ourselves up, right?
Yes. Yep. And I think this SDI program does, just speaking of the nobility of it, Ben, that you're talking about there, I think there is this concept potentially out there that the real good, the good force, whatever it is, whatever, you know, country is the good force, whatever peoples, whatever extraterrestrials, the good force is the one that prevents some kind of nuclear, all out nuclear war on this planet.
Right.
Which is really interesting to me. And we've even projected those thoughts out to outside forces or possibly non-existent outside forces. Again, in my head, it's just connecting that concept of God to this stuff.
I am become death, destroyer of worlds.
And who could save us from that? Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people, whether whatever group of project genre the humans take, whether that be a religion, a state, a family, a tribe, a corporation, usually the idea is you want to be seen as the benevolent force on the earth. There are very few, throughout the span of human civilization, there are very few socioeconomic or socio-spiritual groups that describe themselves without qualification as the bad guys.
100%.
There are a couple. I'm going to be honest. There are a couple.
For sure.
I'm glad they're gone.
Well, I mean, it's like the evil empire was a name bestowed on the Soviet Union by others. They didn't come right out and put that in their press release.
Well, y'all, there's so much to think about there. If you've got thoughts, make sure you send them to us. We'll tell you how to contact us at the end of the episode. Thank you so much, Ozwoman in Idaho. Hope you're doing well. And hope you get to work on something at Los Alamos someday and you get called back. I think that'd be awesome. What if you're part of the secret team that makes something just amazing that you have to tell us about in like 2050?
That is
please write to us.
All right. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Cosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
Man, folks, the buzz surrounding GLP-1 treatments is ubiquitous. However, are you aware of Future Health? You should be, because they streamline the process of connecting with qualified GLP-1 specialists.
For sure. GLP-1s have been an absolute game changer for a handful of folks in my life. Some people just struggle with what they call that food noise, and it's not just a quick fix. It can actually be a way of helping manage that food noise and propel you towards having a little bit more control of your body and your life when you pair it with good diet and exercise.
We recommend you take the quick Future Health 3-minute survey. From there, if approved by a clinician, you'll get prescribed and get meds delivered to your door within 24 hours.
So find out if weight loss meds are right for you in 3 minutes at tryfh.com. That's tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
Running low on time? Let a shopper with Shipt same-day delivery go the extra mile to help you get more out of the holidays. More time building a beautiful brunch spread? Not shopping for it, because you got groceries through same-day delivery. More time decorating the house? Not waiting in line. After all, you got lights from Lowe's delivered same day. More time prepping for the ugly sweater party? Not battling traffic. Because you smart cookie, you got Sephora delivered to your door. You can even send a shopper to PetSmart for treats and toys, leaving you and Duke with more time for Frisbee in the park. Yes, dogs and cats love Shipt same-day delivery too. So go ahead, do the things that matter most this holiday season. While you're living your life, a shopper with Shipt will update you as they shop to ensure you get exactly what you want. Because less time shopping means more time for what truly matters. Get more this holiday season. Download the Shipt app and start shopping today.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast. So Joel, you took a trip with your girls this past fall to Washington, D.C. And of course, you stayed at an Airbnb.
Of course we did. We had a blast in our nation's capital. Staying at this Airbnb in the Capitol Hill neighborhood, it made everything about this trip so much more relaxed. Plus, it helped us save money, which you know I love. We had a full kitchen. We cooked breakfast together every morning before heading out to see the sights. My girls, they loved our adorable historic apartment. And our host made us feel like we were home while we were traveling. And it got me thinking, why am I not creating this experience for someone else by hosting on Airbnb too?
You really should, man. Yeah, I cannot recommend it enough. I loved hosting with Airbnb because it's easy and it was a great side hustle to earn some additional income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we have returned. And Matt, I'm gonna match you. I mean, not raise you, but see your expert insider opinion and perspective with one about psychology and certain types of advanced therapy. And Matt, you actually brought this story that this listener mail pertains to on a recent Strange News episode about the practice of EDMR, which stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing, which is I would say relatively modern psychotherapy technique that allows folks to revisit and reprocess traumatic memories. I think that came from Valerie. Isn't that right, Matt?
Oh, yes. EMDR. We had no idea what it was. And I think in the episode, we like went to some website that was sounded official. It's like EMDR.com.
That's right. And I've seen it printed as EDMR. I think that's what I just said a minute ago. But the EMDR, I believe, is most accurate. We heard from on the subject a listener who is in the psychotherapy field. Goes by Hopeful Sarah. So let's just jump right in. I think this is very interesting. I think it was me on that segment, Matt, that maybe was struggling a little bit with how this type of therapy works, and I may have drawn a few false equivalencies. So I cop to that right here, and let's get schooled by Hopeful Sarah. I'm a mental health therapist, and I was just listening to your December 5th episode in which you talk about EMDR. I've been trained in EMDR, and I could tell you were having a hard time seeing how this works. EMDR uses bilateral stimulation, stimulating the body on one side and then the other to reprocess trauma. The most common techniques are the eyes moving from right to left a number of times, tones in one ear and then the other a number of times, or taps on one hand then the other. The theory is that bilateral stimulation gets the part of the brain that processes, the part that makes sense of events and memories, to start processing. A client and therapist identify a target memory, usually something traumatic, and the client thinks of that while the therapist starts the bilateral stimulation. Most often, it's eye movement because it seems to work the best. As the client thinks of the traumatic event and the brain starts processing, it can actually reprocess the event/memory and make different sense of it. Just like the body tries to heal itself when it's injured, the brain also strives towards healing. When it can reprocess past stuff, it tends to try to make sense of it in a more positive way. For example, I've seen abuse victims work through really terrifying memories and get to the point that the memories are barely uncomfortable and they recognize what happened wasn't their fault. It doesn't mean they are unlovable. It doesn't mean they're defective slash bad, etc. Sometimes I can almost see the light bulb go on. It's pretty cool. It works well with PTSD because the brain is both trying to avoid thinking about the painful or terrifying trauma, but it also keeps going back to it in an attempt to understand what happened. I have worked with people who would take longer routes to work so they don't have to drive past a neighborhood that holds bad memories, but they also have regular flashbacks of what happened there. EMDR exposes them to the memories enough that they deal with them instead of constantly avoiding them. That exposure makes them less reactive to the memory, and therapy itself helps them change the meaning of the original event. The goal is that memory doesn't feel threatening anymore, and if something triggers the memory, they don't feel much distress when it comes to mind. Hopefully that helps EMDR make a little more sense. Yes, it does. Feel free to use this in the podcast as long as you correct any grammar mistakes or simplify any too complicated run-on sentences. Absolutely not. You did great. Happy researching all the cool stuff you research. Sarah, the hopefully awesome therapist. Well, I would say definitely awesome therapist. This was such a helpful layman's way of breaking this down and understanding, you know, the value of this kind of therapy. It also, guys, I couldn't help but think back to our recent discussions of the bicameral mind and the idea of processing things, you know, on the left side versus the right side and how the two sides kind of interact with one another. And it seems like this technique really kind of takes advantage of that.
Yeah, I really wish I knew about this several years back, and I will just leave that there, guys. But this sounds amazing.
And, you know, I mean, the proof is obviously in the pudding for individuals who go through this therapy and, find it to benefit them. And it sounds like from Sarah's experience that she's, you know, seen plenty of success stories. So I think what came up when I was trying to make sense of this during your segment, Matt, was that in a previous therapy situation for me, I had a therapist suggest something along this line of work. Rather, it wasn't this exactly, but it was a form of reprocessing. And I guess, I don't know if he just wasn't a very good therapist or what, but when I started going down that road, he almost was like, yeah, I don't think what happened to you was traumatic enough to qualify for this. So I guess it's good. But also I felt a little dismissed. So I do have a new therapist now who I like a lot. And stuff like this, it's not like a magic bullet. You obviously have to have a practitioner that can help pull those ideas and those thoughts and those memories out of you and then help you to reprocess them. You know, it's not just like a machine doing the work. It is a technique that aids in having the real work of a great therapist kind of take hold.
Isn't it strange, perplexing even, that theoretically just touching your hand on one side of your body and then touching your other hand could actually cause your brain to function differently? Isn't that weird? We've talked about mind hacks a lot over the course of, gosh, 10, 12 years. Like some of the, your brain on, well, what were the ones, Ben? Your brain on drugs, your brain on love, your brain on hate, your brain on all kinds of different things.
And right.
Just the weird stuff that happens as signals travel from one sector to another. Mm-hmm. And as memory is accessed while visuals are being accessed, just weird.
Yeah. Yeah. And I appreciate you bringing that up, Matt. And Sarah, I want to thank you again for taking the time to share this with us. And more importantly, with your fellow listeners. In full disclosure, we have heard from other folks in the therapy community, other professionals who have their own takes on this type of therapy in particular. I would argue that this shows us again, that therapy is an ongoing collaborative science. Right. And as I had previously said in our earlier segment, you have to find what works for you.
Yeah, it's definitely not a one size fits all thing, whether that be medication. I mean, we know that certain like antidepressants, they cause people to have even worse symptoms of their you know, anxiety or depression. And you have to kind of like try different ones and see what works for you. And hopefully with the help of a good psychiatrist and a good therapist, you kind of land on a combination. But to your point, Ben, the therapy itself and the methods, it really is all about that interpersonal connection. Like, I'm just really grateful and lucky that I've in the last 6 months found somebody that I just absolutely relate to, who kind of fills a certain role of a type of figure in my life that maybe I was missing. And it has made the work that we've been doing together like all the more kind of relevant and meaningful for me. I've done therapy for years and I haven't made the kinds of strides that I personally have feel like I've been making with this person. So, you know, and huge shout out to anybody out there, Sarah, yourself included, who chooses to take this career path, because it takes a lot of kind of mental stamina to be able to just be kind of invested, but also somewhat disconnected in a way from somebody's problems. Like, you want to help them, you're there for them, but then you also don't want to take it home with you. I know I personally would really struggle with that. And I know a lot of people who would also do that. So it really is a valuable service. And we really do appreciate you. And with that, let's just make this one a little bit short. I think so much of the information was just in Sarah's awesome email. And to Ben's point, anybody with any other perspectives on this or other types of therapy techniques, please do write us at conspiracy@iheartradio.com. We're going to take a quick pause, hear a word from our sponsor, and then come back with one last segment of messages from you.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
All right, we're all set for the party. I've trimmed the tree, hung the mistletoe, and paired all those weird-shaped knives and forks with the appropriate cheeses. And I plugged in the Bartesian.
Bartesian?
It's a home cocktail maker that makes over 60 premium cocktails, plus a whole lot of seasonal favorites, too. I just got it for 50 off. So, how about a Klosmopolitan or a mistletoe margarita?
I'm thirsty.
Watch. I just pop in a capsule, choose my strength, and...
Wow, it's beginning to feel more seasonal in here already.
If your holiday party doesn't have a bartender, then you become the bartender. Unless you've got a Bartesian, because Bartesian crafts every cocktail perfectly in as little as 30 seconds. And I just got it for $50 off.
Tis the season to be jollier.
Add some holiday flavor to every celebration with the sleek, sophisticated home cocktail maker, Bartesian. Get $50 off any cocktail maker at Bartesian.com/cocktail. That's Bartesian.com/cocktail.
You know, the talk around GLP-1s is inescapable these days, but are you familiar with Future Health? They've made accessing qualified doctors who specialize in GLP-1s easier than ever before.
Yeah, the science here is fascinating. I have a couple of good friends who have actually been using GLP-1s, and the results are astonishing. Not only have my friends felt more physically healthy than they have in a while, but they also feel more in control of their eating habits.
Future Health gives millions of people affordable access to knowledgeable providers who really know weight loss medications for less than $3 a day.
Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in 3 minutes at tryfh.com. That's tryfh.com. Again, tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
Running low on time? Let a shopper with Shipt same-day delivery go the extra mile to help you get more out of the holidays. More time building a beautiful brunch spread? Not shopping for it, because you got groceries through same-day delivery. More time decorating the house? Not waiting in line. After all, you got lights from Lowe's delivered same day. More time prepping for the ugly sweater party? Not battling traffic. Because you smart cookie, you got Sephora delivered to your door. You can even send a shopper to PetSmart for treats and toys, leaving you and Duke with more time for Frisbee in the park. Yes, dogs and cats love Shipt same-day delivery too. So go ahead, do the things that matter most this holiday season. While you're living your life, a shopper with Shipt will update you as they shop to ensure you get exactly what you want. Because less time shopping means more time for what truly matters. Get more this holiday season. Download the Shipt app and start shopping today.
This is Joel.
And I am Matt. We are with the How to Money podcast. So Joel, you took a trip with your girls this past fall to Washington, D.C. And of course, you stayed at an Airbnb.
Of course we did. We had a blast in our nation's capital, staying at this Airbnb in the Capitol Hill neighborhood. It made everything about this trip so much more relaxed. Plus, it helped us save money, which you know I love. We had a full kitchen. We cooked breakfast together every morning before heading out to see the sights. My girls, they loved our adorable historic apartment. And our host made us feel like we were home while we were traveling. And it got me thinking, why am I not creating this experience for someone else by hosting on Airbnb too?
You really should, man. Yeah, I cannot recommend it enough. I loved hosting with Airbnb because it's easy and it was a great side hustle to earn some additional income. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
And we have returned. Good evening, fellow conspiracy realists. They call me Ben from earlier. We are going to hear from a person we'll call Outlier with just a beautiful story that I think all of us will enjoy. Enjoy is a specific word, and then we'll have a letter from home. Outlier writes with the following: Gentlemen, I'm a longtime listener, first-time writer, and you can call me Outlier if you read this on air. Ha ha! Spoiler, Outlier! We do. Sometimes the void writes back. Listening to your strange news segment from December 2nd about the poultry industry, you'll recall that, Matt, reminded me of something I discovered over the weekend. Pork skyscrapers. Now let's pause here, guys. Have you ever heard of pork skyscrapers?
I saw this email come through and I was riveted. I know it has to do with mega processing facilities for pork in, I believe, Asia, but that's all I know.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that's not a thing. I don't believe it.
Thank you.
Of course, the mind immediately goes to, is it a skyscraper made of pork carcasses or something? That's the visual that I get, right?
Or is it a British insult?
You pork skyscraper. Or it could be a compliment for someone who's very well endowed.
Oh,
Outlier continues and says, it was mentioned in paragraph 14 of the article China Quest for the Holy Grail of Meat. Outlier says the article is about ways China is trying to produce enough protein for the diets of its population. While they are apparently exploring meat alternatives, they are also upping production of traditional sources, but in ways that are counter to everything developed countries are attempting to achieve in terms of humane animal treatment. Pork skyscrapers, the article says, where pigs are housed, fed, and slaughtered on an industrial scale. An Outlier, you continue. You say, so after reading that, I Googled and found an article on The Guardian from Friday, November 25th, 2022. An excerpt is the following. China's, get this guys, 26-story pig skyscraper is ready to slaughter 1 million pigs a year. With alleged photos of the site. Outlier, you say, I shouldn't be surprised that the workers are also mistreated. The article says the workers at this facility don't get to leave the building until their next break, reportedly once a week. Outlier, you point out, I don't even want to think what it smells like. Yeah. Love your show. Thanks for putting it out there. I look forward to each new episode. My kid calls this the Six Finger Podcast. Thank you, Outlier.
I mean, this sounds like the kind of stuff that Upton Sinclair wrote about in The Jungle, like back, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if the regulations over there are just different that allow them to do this. I don't think we all should necessarily live under any kind of illusions that any sort of meat processing is quote unquote perfectly humane. But this just sounds like the next level escalation of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is a true story. It's it's not one the Livestock Jedi will tell you, as they say in Star Wars or in SDI. This is very much a real thing. There is not just one, but there are multiple pork producing skyscrapers, pig farms, vertical pig farms. The one that I believe we're referring to here, Outlier, is a 26-story pig farm operating in the Hubei province of China. I don't know why I said that with a Maryland accent. Moving on. For a while, the proponents of this back in, let's say, 2022, 2023, they said, look, this is an environmentally friendlier approach to livestock production. However, as we can tell, there were a lot of people who said, what about the risk of zoonotic disease? What about the quality of life for these porcine individuals? Porcine is just the fancy way of saying pig. This one, when it was made in China, it was the largest of its kind in the world. It wasn't a million pigs a year, Outlier. It turned out to be a 1.2 million pigs slaughtered per year. And it was entirely to address the nation of China's growing demand for pork. Pork is by far the most popular meat in the entire country. And let's remember, that's also one of the most populous countries on the planet.
And then I wouldn't have thought that. I don't know why, but that's interesting to me for some reason.
What would you have thought?
I don't know what I would have thought. I guess I just wouldn't have thought pork. I don't know why. There's no real reason.
Yeah. I mean, it'd be weird if it was something else. If it was like their favorite meat is parrot.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe beef, I guess. But now that I think about it, I mean, pork, there's certainly, it's an ingredient I think of being in plenty of, you know, Chinese dishes. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I can see that.
We know the government has to be involved, first off, because it's China and Uncle Xi doesn't like stuff happening without his say-so. The company behind the farm, which is the Zhongxin Kawe Modern Farming, they were actually new to the livestock sector and new to porcine raising in particular. They previously were in the cement industry. And then they shifted when the cement industry went bad, when it collapsed. I would argue part of that is because China finally got into trouble for building those huge ghost cities to launder money. Remember that?
For sure. But like with this pork skyscraper and I guess facilities like it, these would have been custom built, right? Not like a repurposed building that was used for other things, right?
Great question. Yeah, these are custom built. Now, to your point, they probably already had the infrastructure to at least get the concrete, right? They already had the toys for that. But we have to remember in 2018, there was a swine fever outbreak in the nation, and this put a very hungry country into a very dangerous food security crisis. They want to have a domestic pork production at not just a continually stable rate, but at a continually growing rate. And I'd like to take a second and make space for you guys and ask, is this a good idea? Like, is this solving the right problem?
Being a problem related to population?
Yeah, to the problem of food security or the problem of food safety.
Resources as well, just in general. Because, I mean, is China also experiencing a decline in population like Japan? Or is it not the case over there?
The specter of the one-child policy of old is coming. Right. The consequences, the bill is coming due. But this is not a switch that gets flipped overnight. And to be totally honest, the more you dig into the story of these pig skyscrapers, the more you see that it's not a perfect solution. Stuff sucks for the pigs. Just to be clear, pigs are about as intelligent as what you would say a 3 or 4 year old human being.
Yeah.
So they're smart enough to know when their life sucks.
Yeah. I'm really sad that it is the protein that's getting the vertical farm treatment. I really
instead
do.
Instead of vegetables, right?
Well, sure. Yeah, the grains and the vegetables and some of those things. Because, again, we talked about this pretty recently on the show, but that was the dream maybe that I bought into, I don't know, 10 years ago or something.
Sure. Vertical farming.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just as a potential answer to these problems, because again, it just felt like, oh, well, we could build those. Humans are pretty great at building skyscrapers. We could make this happen. But the thought of cramming all of those pigs in like that, and as you said, Ben, giving him a terrible life, it does solve that problem, at least somewhat of food insecurity, especially if you made a dozen of them, 20 of them.
We know that there are a handful, but also, do we, if we are to assume the perspective of the PRC, if we were to exercise empathy, then we also have to ask quite realistically, in the mission to solve one or two immediate problems, are we not potentially creating new problems?
Absolutely. It's like the cobra and the mongoose or whatever problem, right? Maybe it wasn't the mongoose. You know what I'm talking about, Ben.
Yeah.
But I do wonder why they went with protein, to your point, Matt, and not like grain. I mean, rice is also incredibly popular over there and consumed, and also checks off a lot of nutritional boxes. So why the pig? Why the pork? But yeah, I just wonder, why not tofu? You know, and I'm not even doing this from the perspective of like an anti-meat person. I mean, I eat plenty of meat, and it's something I certainly want to think about a little more intentionally. But to have it be pork and have it be these horrific conditions just seems unnecessary.
Well, then also, like another statement from some people living in China. Wow, that pig has a better life than me, right? Like, what about saving the people who are unhoused, et cetera, et cetera? Yeah. These are dilemmas to wrestle with.
Well, and it's kind of messed up, guys. It's not even really the pork processor company's fault that they have to make this pork, because the pork's the thing that's in the demand. The pork's the thing that's going to make them profit. The pork is the thing that everybody wants, right? If tofu was in demand in the same way that pork was, then it would be a tofu skyscraper.
Sure. Right. We also have to remember, and I appreciate that point, we also have to remember that there has been an acceleration in the rise of quality of life in this country. A lot of people have now these attainable aspirational goals, right? I want to eat well. I want my kids to have a better life, right? And if that means the fancy meal is better than the grains I had to eat, then so be it. You know, forget larger problems here. I have a problem Thursday. I got to solve for that. We get it. And we also want to recommend, again, you mentioned this outlier, the Guardian articles on this are pretty great. South China Morning Post also has some good stuff. Keep in mind, they are state-run media. I hope everybody gets a chance to check out some of these stories, because they also go into the vast surveillance applied to this. Because remember, whether or not, regardless of the life forms living in a skyscraper, it's still a skyscraper. There are a lot of pigs in there, and there are a lot of people, and it is very much a factory. So the level of monitoring applied to these things, just to respond to our friends in China who had apartment envy, I don't think you want to be surveilled on this level.
Interesting.
I mean, also there are people worried about whether or not this will, again, create a new problem. Could this be a vector or a breeding ground for dangerous zoonotic infections? As Dirk Pfeiffer, the chair professor at City University, or One Health at City University of Hong Kong, said, quote, the higher density of animals, the higher risk of infectious pathogen spread and amplification, as well as the potential for mutation. What do you guys think? Is that a little too doom and gloom, or is there validity to that concern?
I think there's validity. I also maybe take this opportunity too to talk about how, when we were discussing with Jenner first, you know, the idea of other possible alternatives for the COVID-19 outbreak, it's not to say that these mutations couldn't take place in a situation like a wet market or something like this type of factory farming. I just personally found some of the arguments that were made in that documentary to be pretty compelling and interesting. Not to mention that we recently saw a story about another lab leak of some really virulent pathogens here in the United States. So I just wanted to take the opportunity to say, absolutely, these things can happen, and it can happen as a result of poor monitoring and regulation of these types of facilities.
And I'd like to, in that spirit, take the opportunity to thank all of you, our fellow conspiracy realists, who responded to us as a group or as individuals with your thoughts on our interview with Jenner First. Again, the documentary is Thank You, Dr. Fauci. Please do check it out. Likewise, I was fascinated by this. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And speaking of hearing your thoughts, as we close every listener mail segment here, we like to have a letter from home. We talked about it a little bit. I think I have just enough time to share a letter that really, I don't know, inspired all of us, I would say, from a guy named Wes working with PETA. Wes says, "Hi, Ben, Matt, and Noel. We caught last Thursday's listener mail segment and wanted to thank you for sharing Anonymous Owl's many wonderful tips for helping wildlife and for pointing listeners to our webpage with state-by-state resources. We also have a page with detailed steps for rescuing wild animals in need that you're welcome to share. We were also delighted to hear you point out how bizarre it is that humans kill some animals, including cows, but love and protect others, whether they're the companions we share our homes with or the wildlife we encounter outside." Thank you, Wes. That's always really bugged me, and I think bugged all of us. After all, Wes continues, "Cows feel love, joy, pain, and fear exactly as cats and dogs do, and I'd add pigs. This is an example of speciesism, the misguided belief that some species are inherently superior to or more worthy of consideration than others." And then PETA sends us a helpful link to learn more about speciesism, says, "Thank you again. And if there's ever any way we can serve as a resource for you about this or any other animal topic, please don't hesitate to contact us. Kind regards, Wes Burdett, the press officer of PETA." I can't believe you wrote to us, Wes. Thank you. Yeah,
that's the people for the ethical treatment of animals, right?
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, and just, yeah, there have certainly been campaigns spearheaded by PETA that maybe have perhaps been a little bit inflammatory, and some people might have issue with some of the lines that they take on things, or maybe some of the extreme perspectives. But I think every bit of information that Wes wrote to us is absolutely accurate and appropriate, and I thought it was really, really thoughtful, and I really appreciate the resources.
Yeah, if you want to find those, you can search PETA and then locating a wildlife rehabilitator, or the other resource that was sent, you could search for PETA wildlife emergencies, how to help and when not to interfere.
Yeah, and thank you for that, Matt. Thank you for that, Wes. I also want to note, yes, obviously we are aware, PETA as an organization, it's been around for a while. It has encountered its share of controversy over the years, and this happens with any organization of that size. Yet I hold firm. I will stand on this hill. Omnivore's dilemma aside, shout out to the author Michael Pollan. The idea of speciesism is very real, yes, and it is impacting a world that is still wrestling with the dwindling biodiversity on the planet right now. It is quite possible, if things keep going the way they are, that when you have grandchildren, if you're human, you will sound like a crazy guy when you say, "Oh, there used to be animals in the wild. You could just be in the woods and you just run into something." And they'll say, "Ah, you're crazy, man. Next thing you're going to say, you had to use your hands to access the internet."
Makes me think of Aloy and the robot animals of the Horizon series.
Nice. We're going to call it here, folks. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in to our listener mail program. Please tune in as we approach the end of the new year. We have such wonders to show you. Big thanks to Oz Woman. Big thanks to Sarah. Big thanks to also all the other therapists who have contacted us regarding that specific type of therapy. Big thanks to Outlier. Big thanks to Wes B. And in advance, if we could get by with a little help from our friends, big thanks to you, fellow conspiracy realist, for contacting us right now. But wait, how do you do it? Do you send an email? Do you call on the phone? Do you go online?
Well, gosh, Ben, I'm glad you brought that up. There's multiple ways to contact us, including on your social media platform of choice, where we are Conspiracy Stuff on X, FKA Twitter, on Facebook, where we have our Facebook group, Here's Where It Gets Crazy, and on YouTube, where we have video content galore for you to enjoy. On TikTok and Instagram, however, we are Conspiracy Stuff Show.
We have a phone number. You can call it. Use your phone or your computer, your VoIP, whatever you got. Call 1-833-STDWYTK. As soon as you call, or even better, right before you call, put that number in your phone as a contact just in case it gives you a ring back. When you do call in, give yourself a cool nickname and let us know if we can use your name and message on the air. If you've got more to say than can fit in a 3-minute voicemail, why not instead send us a good old-fashioned email? We are
the entities that read every piece of correspondence we receive. You don't have to have more to say. You can just say your regular stuff. We will devour the correspondence. Be well aware, yet unafraid, sometimes the void writes back. Give us your suggestions for new episodes you believe your fellow conspiracy realist will enjoy. Or, you know, give us weird puns, give us bad jokes. Humorous Harry, you've set the bar pretty low. Join us out here in the dark. Conspiracy at iHeartRadio.com.
Stuff They Don't Want You to Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Welcome to Nada Yada Island.
We're back on the Nada Yada Island Confessions Show. Benny is about to tell us how he found two loves. Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks to Metro, I found iPhone 12 and Apple Watch SE.
At Metro, get the perfect match of both iPhone 12 with 5G and Apple Watch SE for only $99.99. You heard that right. Both for just $99.99. Holidays with Nada Yada Yada, only at Metro by T-Mobile.
Bring your number and ID, sign up for Metro Flex Plus and add a watch line. Not available if you're with T-Mobile or pay with Metro in the past 180 days. Limit 2 per account.
This is Tracy V. Wilson from Stuff You Missed in History Class. Do you like podcasts, music, and audiobooks? Because when you subscribe to Amazon Music Unlimited, you get all three in one app. Imagine listening to your favorite podcasts and music on the go to work, school, the gym, or better yet, vacation. Now, imagine being on vacation with your favorite audiobook from Audible, then listening to a new one every month from a huge selection of popular titles. That sounds like a pretty good vacation, right? Audible is now included on Amazon Music Unlimited. Download the Amazon Music app now to start listening. Terms apply.
Chronic migraine is 15 or more headache days a month, each lasting 4 hours or more.
Botox, onabotulinum toxin A, prevents headaches in adults with chronic migraine before they start. Botox is not approved for adults with migraine who have 14 or fewer headache days a month. Botox prevents, on average, 8 to 9 headache days a month versus 6 to 7 for placebo.
Botox is a prescription medicine injected by your doctor. Effects of Botox may spread hours to weeks after injection, causing serious symptoms. Alert your doctor right away as difficulty swallowing, speaking, breathing, eye problems, or muscle weakness can be signs of a life-threatening condition. Patients with these conditions before injection are at highest risk. Side effects may include allergic reactions, neck and injection site pain, fatigue, and headache. Allergic reactions can include rash, welts, asthma symptoms, and dizziness. Don't receive Botox if there's a skin infection. Tell your doctor your medical history, muscle or nerve conditions, including ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease, myasthenia gravis, or Lambert-Eaton syndrome, and medications, including botulinum toxins, as these may increase the risk of serious side effects.
Talk to your doctor and visit BotoxChronicMigraine.com or call 1-800-44-BOTOX to learn more.
Are you ready to unleash your inner beast?
Introducing Wolfpack, the ultimate gear for the modern adventurer. Whether you're hitting the gym, exploring the great outdoors, or just need a reliable companion for your daily grind, Wolfpack has got you covered. Our backpacks are designed with durability and style in mind, perfect for carrying all your essentials, no matter where your journey takes you. Join the pack today and experience the difference. Visit wolfpack.com and gear up for your next adventure. That's wolfpack.com. Wolfpack, gear up, stand out.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play. Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at chumbacasino.com.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions.